Thanksgiving week is when family and friends who might not all gather together that often gather together. Some extended families make a rule and try to follow it. The politics has no place during the big family feast or maybe even during the entire holiday. But we have politics for this Thanksgiving week, courtesy of John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Roby Brock with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. This week, they cover tax reform. Senator Al Franken and Roby began this week's conversation by asking about the return to Arkansas this weekend of Bill and Hillary Clinton to mark the 25th anniversary of the night Bill Clinton was elected to the White House.
The Clintons gathered and had a candid, seemingly, conversation in front of 3,000 adoring, I call them Clinton cultists. They don't appreciate being called that. And it was on the 25th anniversary, and it was ostensibly a reunion, a retrospective. But of course, what it ended up leading to was what Carville called the elephant in the room, and they went off on Trump. Hillary did, and sounded somewhat bitter, but understandably. And they ended up saying what I found to be very important truths about the decline in our politics and the decline in our political culture. Bill Clinton, who's very optimistic and remains so, he said the United States is still better positioned for the future than any other country in the world. The only thing holding us back is our stupid politics. That's what he said, our stupid politics. And he talked about the genome research and how we're 99.5% the same. I think he's talked
sure
about
over,
but only we emphasize those small differences to the point that we can no longer solve problems and get along and deal with each other constructively in terms of governing ourselves. So my column will say they told some important truths, and I can hear a lot of their detractors saying they've never told the truth in their life and they're bitter. But basically, I conclude that you can have a history of not telling the truth at all the time, and still, in one setting, on one occasion, tell some absolute truth that we want to hear from a position of authority. I mean, Bill Clinton was, his personal things aside, he led the nation through 8 years of general prosperity and stability in international relations. She was a senator, secretary of state, and do you know, she got more votes for president than any white American in history. The only person ever to get more votes to be president, popular votes, to get more votes, was Barack Obama. And she's been a Secretary of State who has dealt with issues around the globe. So yeah, they're credible and authoritative, and it's a rare opportunity to see them sit together and talk about things that candidly. And it was important. And I believe we need to move beyond their politics in Arkansas. And that was the idea. When I say that, that makes some of their fans mad. But I think they made that case. I think they made the case that politics in our generation, theirs, has failed us and is poisoned and has got to be changed. And so I take some real important lessons from that appearance.
And I think this was a kind of almost an umbilical cord cut as well, in that, hey, okay, we've celebrated this 25th anniversary. It was a spectacular time. We will come back and celebrate other big milestones down the road. But it is time for a new generation of Democratic leadership. You're not going to see Bill or Hillary Clinton be other than stateswomen of the party, I think, going forward. You've got a bunch of young candidates, not only in Arkansas, but at the national level,
right,
too. There's
right.
some fresh faces out there.
There are, and it's changing. But in Arkansas, where my particular focus is, we've seen in the last few days the emergence of people out of the Teach for America movement and young educators devoted from their college days to the concept of public service, now deciding that maybe public service should encompass putting your name on the ballot. And they represent a progressivism that is dissented from Clinton and Bumpers and Pryor and all of those, but different. It's different issues for its different time. It's like the head of the old Democratic Leadership Conference, Al Fromm, told me once. He said the problem with Democrats today, he meant in 92, is that they're still wedded to Roosevelt when they should be wedded to FDR, not for his programs, but that he had programs, and they should have programs themselves for their time. That's what I think the growing pain we're seeing in the Democratic Party. And yeah, I think that was sort of a final a valedictory for Bill and Hillary in terms of Arkansas politics, but it did give me a chance to say, they gathered to sing once more, "Don't Stop Thinking About Yesterday," which is one of my favorite quips, which the Clinton people don't appreciate.
Because it was really "Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow."
That was the song, but you see, I'm saying...
I get where you're going.
Okay.
All right. Houston, we have a problem in America right now. The headlines in politics are being dominated by men who seem to have a real problem with sexual assault, sexual innuendo, sexual predators. Are there decent human beings in politics anymore? You're not hearing about any of them. It is all negative at this point in time, and I don't think that we're really beyond the tip of the iceberg on this. I think a lot more is going to come out.
No, we're going through what I think is a seismic exercise culturally. I got a column coming later in the week. It's arrows, and I give an arrow down to men and an arrow up to women. I don't mean to trivialize it. This is very important, but men, I give them the arrow down on the basis that they tend to lose their boyish charm, but not their boyish maturity levels. I mean, I just think we've grown up with lingering juvenile attitudes about women and sexuality, and I think that's coming to the fore. I mean, Al Franken maybe was just being funny, but that he thought that was funny, and that we would think that's funny, is symptomatic of the problem. Women are going to get it through our thick skulls, I think. That we're not to be condescended to, they're not to be bullied, they're certainly not to be assaulted, they're not to be flirted with without invitation, they are to be taken
professionally
and seriously, at least as seriously as men are taken. And I think we're going through that, but the embedded attitudes are so strong that it's a seismic occurrence, and they're going to be, apparently, last week it was two or three a day of old allegations, and I think it's going to continue. And we come out on the other side, maybe we'll have it right. Maybe we will have evolved.
Perhaps it will be a stronger case, too, that it would not be a bad idea to have more women in positions of power in politics and in business so that there is a little bit more equity in the scale.
Amen. I think that's absolutely true. It's not for any purpose other than that women can do the job just as well, if not better. I spoke to the Lee women voters years ago down at Camden, the Arkansas Lee Women Voters, and I said, people say that the Arkansas legislature, for better or worse, is a microcosm of the state of Arkansas. I said, it is not. Not until 51% of them are women will it be that. And we need to get to that point.
All right, lastly, let's talk about what is happening with the major piece of legislation in Washington, D.C. right now, and that is the effort to push tax reform, tax cuts over the finish line. Our Senator Tom Cotton, has inserted repealing the individual mandate from the Affordable Care Act into here. It's all complicating and unraveling as we talk. There's probably about five senators that seem to be on the fence now,
right,
and they only have two to give. So do you still think tax reform gets done in the Senate?
I think they've got to have some kind of tax reform. They can't have another epic failure. And I said a couple, 3 weeks ago, by the end of the year, I think they'll go, oh, heck, let's just cut the corporate tax rate and pretend we pay for it somehow. I think that's what they really want to do. They want to take, not necessarily the small business people who have to pay individual tax rates if it's a pass-through income.
Correct.
But corporations cut their rates and say that this is going to stimulate greatness for our economy.
Bring some folks back on from out of the country into the country.
Right. And leave it at that. I think that's about all I can see they can pass. This Cotton idea, let's repeal the individual mandate. I find that fascinating, and just incredibly fascinating. He and those who support him in the Trump said, yeah, said, hey, look, we can stop forcing people to pay a penalty in their taxes if they don't get in health insurance. And then, therefore, they will the rates will go up and people will not have health insurance. And therefore, we can have all these happy savings because we're not having to subsidize working class people's health insurance premiums.
Right.
They're happily calling this savings when what I call it is throwing people off health insurance. So that they can have tax cuts, which whenever you cut tax rates, most of the cash goes to the people who already have the cash. I'm accused there, I'm sure, of class warfare. So what? It's just accuse me of what you want. That's what you're doing.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and his columns, including a digital-only Wednesday column, can also be read at ArkansasOnline.com. Roby Brock is with our partner Talk Business and Politics, and you can follow state news around the clock at talkbusiness.net.